Let's pretend right now, kids, you listening too? Gotta listen to this part. Ready? Let's pretend right now, I said, instead of a sermon, we're going to read the Bible for an hour. Got that? Instead of a sermon, we're going to read the Bible for an hour. Would you want to spend that hour reading the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Probably New.
New Testament, New.
Even though I like
New. Okay. I think if you asked 100 Christians, 90 plus of them would go with the New Testament. Why do you think? Why do you think that that would be true?
Because it's our way to salvation.
It seems to say it clearer, right? Good point, that it's our way to salvation seems clearer in the New Testament than the Old Testament. Any other reasons why you think most people would probably choose the New Testament? There's some stuff in the Old Testament that's pretty drudgery. Yeah, it's drudgery to go through. I mean, if you think about it, the bridge with the New Testament is a shorter one to cross. Much of what the New Testament includes is less difficult to read. Definitely the Gospels is less difficult to read. It's overall, it's just easier to understand. And it begins with us hearing about Jesus, which it really is the most awesome topic, is it not? However, the Old Testament, New Testament preference can also be because the Old Testament seems, and this, you alluded to this a little bit, love, seems a little archaic in its teachings, right? If people do certain bad things, we are supposed to stone them. That's not just for one or two things. We know more about the tabernacle and the temple and how they were supposed to be built and outfitted than is really meaningful to us in the New Covenant. Meaningful to them, but it's not as meaningful. And to top it off, it can seem like a totally different moral world. What was important theologically back then isn't as important in the church age. Or is it? Or is it? Reading through the Bible in 1 year, this past week, included Leviticus 19. And the topic for this sermon, Everything Old is New Again, that's the name of the sermon, Everything Old is New Again, hit me after digesting verses 17 and 18. So let's look at those, verses 17 and 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Are we there? Almost?
Okay. 17? I'm sorry.
Chapter 19, Leviticus, verses 17 and 18, yeah. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. Excuse me. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Lord. Now those are words in a book, Leviticus, that has all kinds of stuff that fit my Old Testament, New Testament contrast. Yet right in the middle of that, we hear enjoyments that sound very New Testament-ish. Let's review them. The passage starts off with what? It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. Anything related in the New Testament? I think so. Let's take a look at 1 John 2, 9 through 11. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. Just wait a moment, make sure we're all there. All set?
Yep.
1 John 2, 9 through 11. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in what?
Darkness.
Darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Was the New Testament the first place to tell us that you shouldn't hate your brother? Nope. Everything old is new again. If you read through the Bible in order, you would have seen it in Leviticus first. You would have seen it in Leviticus first. And before we continue with our verses in Leviticus, let's take a look at Matthew 18:15. Matthew 18:15. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Okay. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Another question for you. Was the New Testament the first place that said you should reason with someone if you have an issue?
No.
No. Everything old is new again. If you read through the Bible in order, you would have seen it in Leviticus first. Let's move on. Leviticus 19:18 then says, so if you think about the original verses that we read, the second of the two verses says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." How about in that verse? Anything we can connect to the New Testament? Well, you know.
You should love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, you know the answer to that question, given what the sermon is about. And we will get to that one. Not first, but we'll get to that one. So let's take a look at Romans 12:19-21. Romans 12:19-21. Romans 12:19-21. We're there? Okay. Beloved, never. Notice that? Never. How often?
Never.
Never, right. It's never. You've both been teachers. Is never an absolute word? Right? Absolute. It's not like all but once, those kind of things. Like perfect is an absolute word. You're either perfect or you're not. It's either never or not never. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
Exactly. Was the New Testament the first place that said not to take vengeance? No, everything old is new again. If you read through the Bible in order, you would have seen it in Leviticus first. Now let's hop back, going with your point, let's hop back to Matthew 12:28-31. Matthew 12:28-31. Actually, it's funny. I thought I fixed this. It's probably Mark. Let me just take a quick look here. It might be Mark. Yeah, sorry, Mark. And what's weird is, I could have sworn I fixed this before I printed it out. What I do is I put the scriptures together, and then I use something to go, like, make sure that they're the right ones. And I picked up this one, should have been Mark. So Mark 12, 28 through 31. If you looked at the other one and said to yourselves, wait a minute, what has this got to do with anything? And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him being Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, and this is the one you brought up, love. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Was the New Testament the first place to say to love your neighbor as yourself? Nope. Everything old is new again. If you read through the Bible in order, you would have seen it in Leviticus first. And loving your neighbor as yourself is what jumped out at me this week when I was reading Leviticus and inspired the sermon. By the way, what does it mean, the expression, what's old is new again? Everything old is new again.
Things come around in a cycle.
They come around in a cycle, you could say that. It's the whole idea that people think, I mean, especially like kids sometimes, young adults, will think that they've thought of something brand spanking new, and the likelihood that anybody has thought of something brand spanking new, philosophically, theologically, or whatever, is pretty slim. I'm not saying it's not that it's impossible, but it's unlikely. And that's the whole point, is that people sometimes look at the New Testament and say, wow, this is brand spanking new. It's totally different than the Old Testament. But we've just seen several cases, haven't we? Where we're looking at two verses. We see it in the New Testament too, but it didn't get there first. And when you think of the book of Leviticus, it's a painful book in parts. I mean, it talks about how the garments should be set up and stuff, I think. I might be getting a little confused with some of Exodus, but the fact is, but right in there, right? These nuggets are in there. They're already in there. Jesus wasn't saying a bunch of brand spanking new stuff when he showed up. Instead, with precision, and I think this is important, he was zooming in on things that needed to be focused on, that needed to be pushed to the forefront, that the religious leaders had missed. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. That's Matthew 23:23. The commands to provide justice and mercy and faithfulness, they were in the Old Testament. But the scribes and the Pharisees were blinded by their love of rules. The problem wasn't following the Old Testament rules, as long as they didn't expand them so much that they became man-made rules. There was nothing wrong with following all those Old Testament rules, were there? The problem was that what should have been old to them was new to them. Does that make sense? The problem was that it wasn't that they followed those rules. The problem was that weightier things that should have been old to them were new to them, that Jesus had to remind them. They missed those weightier matters. I want to make something clear. I am not saying that there's nothing new in the New Testament, that everything's old, just to repeat. It does have further revelation, additional history, and so on. But I suspect if we look at all of the New Testament's moral teachings, if we look at every one of the New Testament's moral teachings, we'd be hard-pressed to find any that end up in its pages first. Everything old is new again. So, assuming that you agree with my take that everything old is new again in the New Testament, what does that mean for you and me? It's neat, but what does it mean? Is this just kind of a neat point that you may have already realized because you've read through Scripture? Or can we apply it somewhere? Let's try the application. First, it proves you can trust the Bible. First, everything old is new again, proves you can trust the Bible. Because it is consistent. If the Old Testament said, hate your neighbor, Neville, and the New Testament Deb said, love your neighbor, that would be a problem. That would be an inconsistency. But the Bible is 100% consistent. It does not change moral law. It may change ceremonial law, right? Or it might even be good. We use the term law because of the way the Jews had referred to it, but they aren't law in the same way as a moral law, right? Moral laws don't change. Will it suddenly become okay to murder tomorrow, Neville? Will it suddenly become okay to murder?
No, nothing new. Yeah.
Commit adultery, will be that okay, suddenly become okay tomorrow? How about blaspheming, using the Lord's name in vain, will that suddenly become okay? No, moral stuff doesn't change. And that consistency means that everything old is new again, means that you can trust the Bible. Because it is consistent. It didn't change. There's not an Old Testament moral and a New Testament moral. They're the same. Second, I would suggest that you can take from the everything old to new is new again, that it means you really should read the Bible end to end over and over. You really should read the Bible end to end over and over. Then you will see the Bible's consistency for yourself, not to mention that you'll have a stronger foundation for your beliefs and a greater ability to avoid mistaken doctrines. It is harder to misinterpret passages in the New Testament if you already read them and what came before them in the Old Testament, whether it's the same teaching or something that reflects on a New Testament teaching. We sometimes go off the rails because we'll read something. Like, for instance, when you read about gnashing of teeth, it's good to see what things are close to that in the Old Testament before you decide what it means in the New Testament. But we are, I would suggest that because so many Christians do not read the Bible cover to cover over and over, we have ignorance that allows people to manipulate our theology. What we do is we get their proof texts, we read what they say, we get their proof texts, and say, bingo, you must be right. But if you read the whole Bible end to end, over and over, what'll happen is you'll say to yourself, you know, I can't necessarily put my finger on it, but there's something wrong with that, what that person just said, right? And then you can dig more. And if you keep reading it over and over, you'll start being able to put your finger on it. You'll be like, you know what? I read something in Isaiah that means that can't be. For instance, take Isaiah. It's a good one. If somebody tells you that Jesus isn't God, Isaiah 9:6-ish, right? Prince of Peace. You know what I mean? So those kind of things that just jump out and you're like, no, there's just no way. Okay. Everything old is new again means you should read the entire Bible over and over again. You're a teacher. Do you repeat things for a reason? Yeah.
Several times.
Exactly. You don't teach a kid generally once, because to remember something, you repeat something. So teachers repeat things for a reason. You know what? God repeats things for a reason. Read the Bible over and over again. The third and final reason, or the application of everything old is new again, is Jesus. Everything old is new again means that when you read those hard things in the Old Testament, and would you agree there's some pretty hard, I don't mean hard to read, I mean hard to go, like the stoning, that there are some hard things in the Old Testament, agreed? When you read those hard things in the Old Testament, like stoning people for certain sins, you can do it with an eye on Jesus. Jesus is God. God gave them all those rules and commands. You know Jesus. You trust him. those hard things, or as Graham Maxwell called them, emergency measures, were given by the God you see in Jesus. Let me say that again. Those hard things, those emergency measures, were given by God, the God you see in Jesus. A God who loves you so much that he sent his only beloved son to die a horrible death on the cross for you, for you, for you, for me, for them. Something that he planned before time. Think about that. Something that the cross, they just suddenly come up with it after, you know, something happened to God and they're like, oh no, we got to figure out how to solve this. Is that how it worked out? No, something they planned before time, because everything old is new again. No surprises, nothing truly new. That should be comforting. Jesus has always been there for you. That's not new. Praise God. Praise God.